All right, well, why don't we go ahead and get started? I want to thank you all for joining us this evening. Don't know about where everybody is, but we're certainly going through our heat wave here, so hopefully everybody's surviving that without any problems. We've got a number of things on the agenda to go over tonight, so I don't want to waste any more time tonight. And Melissa, I'll turn it over to you first to get started.
Okay, so a few things to go over. A reminder, your MIPS, please make sure you're completing all necessary and needed information, even for skin sweeps. So they are a billable visit, which means we have to gather the information. Unfortunately, if we don't do well, we could be penalized up to 10%. If we do well, we can actually, possibly increase the what we pay. So just participate in MIPS and we appreciate your cooperation. And a Prima update, we are working on some issues with the formatting model for the new form and updating a biologics form to add to a Prima. So hopefully this will be done in the next couple weeks. Lastly, documentation of signs and symptoms of infection. You have to address the infection, whether it's by a treatment change, an antibiotic, a debridement, using generalized statements such as critical colonization, anything like that is not sufficient. You need to address the patient's needs. Not addressing the signs and symptoms of infection, especially when it's documented for weeks, puts us as a company and you as a provider at greater risk for litigation and for the facility as far as survey citations. So if you've tried multiple modalities and you're not sure what else you can use, you can reach out to Dr. Karamati. You can reach out to anyone on the clinical team. We can talk through that with you, but infections have to be addressed at some, in some shape or form. Even if it's you're referring them to infectious disease, referring them to the PCP for antibiotic management, but they have to be addressed. Are there any questions about that?
I think one thing I want to add to that is that, it is important to clarify if this is a localized infection versus a systemic infection. I think that sort of a clarification is important. And that's also, important in terms of how you're going to manage those, those problems. So just writing infection is not really, stating what the issue really is. So, you do need to clarify that from that standpoint. And as Melissa stated, having something like this go on for weeks and weeks and weeks, doesn't really put us in a good light because we're, not controlling the situation and not controlling the infection. So it's not something that should be, repeated indefinitely on documentation. Along those lines, I think, certainly seen some, things in documentation. And I do want to remind everybody that, documentation should be reserved for patient care. And some of the anecdotal things and personal comments really do not belong, in the notes. If you have concerns or issues about documentation or audits or those types of things, the patient chart is not the appropriate place to document those types of things. We can certainly talk about that in more specific terms if anybody has any questions about that. But again, making comments and opinions and things like that is not really the place for a medical record. So that's kind of what I wanted to say about those. Any questions?
Yes, Dr. Lane here. Question regarding the statement by Melissa. Regarding signs of infection, do you mean if we find three or more signs and symptoms of infection, we must then treat? Or do you mean if we saw any signs of infection, we need to document what we did?
Well, McGeer's criteria states that it needs to be three signs and symptoms of infection, or the standalone for a true infection would be purulent drainage. So if you are checking, even if you're checking signs and symptoms two or three, even week after week, I mean, Dr. Karamati, what's your opinion? Like it that needs to be addressed. I think 1 week, if you just have, two out of the three checked, you can reevaluate it the next week for a true infection. But what we're seeing in the medical records is signs and symptoms of infection and statements being used week after week, and there's no treatment change. There's no antibiotic because they're not, specifying if it's systemic or localized. And it just looks like we're not doing anything about wounds that are infected.
Understood.
I think there's certainly enough literature out there to, to stress the importance of clinical judgment when evaluating for infection. And so, I think, there just needs to be some better documentation, of what's going on. I mean, if you are, checking off all those boxes, then there needs to be some sort of, an explanation. Could those signs and symptoms be explained by other things? Certainly. I mean, you can have inflammatory responses where you get, erythema and warmth and all of those things that, could potentially be infection. But that's, I think, where, the comments box comes into place. And that's where, you need to, maybe spend a little bit more time in terms of explaining what is going on so that, somebody else that's reviewing the chart understands your thought process, not just, some check boxes. So, again, I think further clarification of the situation is important. And then, depending on what that problem is, making sure that you're addressing it and trying to resolve it rather than just watch it.
Understood. For me, whenever I see any of the signs of warmth, erythema, which I sometimes see, I do check those boxes. The reason I check those boxes is because A, I saw it, and B, should any other signs pop up later on, I don't want it to look like, well, the redness just came on. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes I have like the erythema box checked, but it's just erythema. It's just the area is just a little bit redder, and it just improves with the treatment that I have in place. The wound is clearly healing. It's clearly getting smaller. There's less granulation, and the area is turning epithelialization. That's why I just want to clarify.
Sure. And I've seen in many people's notes where they'll write in the comments section, erythema present but improving. At least that gives us some sort of a stance that, okay, we're heading in the right direction, or no, there are issues that still need to be addressed.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, by no means are we asking you not to document signs and symptoms of infection. That's not what the message we're trying to convey. We just want you to make sure that you are explaining and, taking the appropriate steps, with the patients.
Cool.
Any other questions about that?
I've got a comment to make. This is a critical issue for us. We're in the process of potentially picking up an account, someone with a lot of facilities that indicated one of the reasons they're going to make a change is documentation related, that certain things are very nonspecific, and it basically puts the onus on the facility. It puts them under tremendous scrutiny. That's a danger zone. So they're firing the provider because of that. And so when you leave things like that, and you're not changing your what you're doing in terms of the healing process or treatment process, and just putting generalized statements, you make the facility look bad. And they're not going to tolerate that. You have specific, as has been pointed out, things that need to be pointed out that you're working to resolve. That's fine. You're changing what you're doing for that patient and in your treatments or what you're prescribing. Those are things that help support that. But when you just leave things as they are and just put week after week, infection, 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 that's a tremendous danger zone to the facility. It is to us and to you as the provider. So those are things that, can't continue if you're doing that. I'm not saying anyone is, but if it is, those are danger zones. So please, please, please avoid that.
All right. Thank you, Milt. Anything else for you, Melissa?
Okay, this is Dr. Patel. Regarding a localized infection, like somebody has like a pus coming out, there is no warmth or no erythema. Can you just put like a silver alginate or something like that? Silver can be used for localized stuff, right? And can you use it for like a couple of weeks or something and then stop and see how it goes? Or
Sure. I mean, if you have a localized infection, I think there are a number of things that you can use. There are a number of, cleansing agents. A lot of people have been advocating for the use of hypochlorous acid, which, the trade name tends to be Vosh or Voshi, depending on how you pronounce it. You could certainly use silver agents if the facility has those. I think there's a number of different agents that you could certainly try and see how the patient responds. And, if it's very localized, certainly antibiotics don't sound to be warranted. But yes, there are several agents that you could try.
But there is no need to put like systemic antibiotic. Just if you only want in a purulence or something, one sign without any warmth or erythema or any, like then or three or four signs, So just treat localized and see how it goes. Okay. It makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Patel, if you have questions, if you're out in the field and you have any questions, you can call anyone on the clinical team and we can help you,
Sure.
think about some alternate dressings if you feel like a wound is, has signs and symptoms of infection and you need to change the treatment. Silver products are great, whether it's an alginate, a collagen, a wound gel, those are all great options when you have localized cells.
Now, how about the Dakin solution? Is it like you just cleanse with the wound with the Dakin solution, right? Basically,
That's correct. So if you felt like you needed to use a Dakin's if a wound was infected, you would write the order to cleanse the wound and then you would apply whatever treatment you wanted. If it was a large cavernous wound, you could actually do like a Dakin's wet to moist. And typically those are done twice a day
Okay.
until you see symptoms improve.
But you only use for a certain time, right? Like 2 weeks
Correct.
or something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions
I have a
about this?
question. Oh yeah, I have a
Sure.
question. What would be the benefit over for the Vashi over Dakin's?
So it has actually been shown that it's actually more cost effective, number one, in terms of the ounce per ounce comparison of what's used compared to Dakin's. But more importantly, it seems to be more effective in terms of the infection and it's less caustic to the healthy tissue. A lot of facilities
Hello?
adopted that and they
You
kind of see the cost numbers and
you
think that
went
it's more expensive, but in the
back,
long run, it's
periodic.
actually.
Back here, you went
Yep.
silent for a moment as you were talking.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So the short answer to that is it's more cost effective, it's more effective against infection, and it's less caustic to the healthy tissues.
Okay.
But a lot of facilities have not, for whatever reason, adopted it or added it to their formulary because it may appear to be more expensive, but when you compare it in terms of volume used of Dakin's to the hypochlorous acid, it's actually cheaper.
Is it more comfortable on the application for the patient as well?
I don't really know.
Okay.
I've never seen somebody poorly react to the Dakin's either, so I'm not certain about that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about more areas that were maybe more intimate or delicate, that we don't usually use Dakin's on, if it would, be an option.
Any additional questions? Anything else?
This is Dr. Patel again. Do you need to do culture on every wound that look infected, or you can use empirically silver or mad honey or something like that?
I mean, I think that's a clinical judgment call on your behalf. If it's something where, it may warrant antibiotic treatment, you can certainly culture. Again, my caution to you is, doing a surface culture is not really going to be representative of the etiology.
That's
you will
true.
need to take a deeper tissue sample or deeper sample to get an accurate culture result.
You have to almost do like a biopsy or something, right? Almost taking out tissue from deep inside, right?
You may have to do that. There are some techniques, and I'm blanking on the name of the actual swab technique that's advised, but there is a swab technique that you could potentially do. But yes, you do need to sample, or get a sample from a deeper area.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Melissa, I have a question about the MIPS for the skin sweep. Just to clarify, it's just the diagnoses, right, for the skin sweeps?
Well, all the information we need for any billable visit is the social drivers, the advanced care plan, any meds that might be applicable for CAD, and then dementia.
Okay.
So the ones that we can help you with on the back end, if we pick up things during audit, like we can help you with your dementia. We can help you with your care plans. Medications, it's a little bit harder for us because we don't have access to all of the facilities. And social drivers is something that you guys have to actually select yes to. And these patients, they all have access to medical care. They all have access to housing. They all have access to, transportation if need be, because these are requirements when they're in long-term care or skilled nursing. So that's really an easy yes. If you have a patient that's short term and they're discharging home, feel free to make sure you can ask them, hey, when you go home, do you have a primary? Do you have, access to food? And, should they tell you no, then you could just make sure that you're telling the social worker in the building, like, hey, these are going to be some issues with their discharge. But
okay.
Everybody that's long-term and lives there, they have access to everything for social drivers.
Okay.
Melissa, can
Melissa.
I ask one more question about MIPS as well? It's Naomi Torgerson.
Sure.
For the cardiac meds, I'm the one entering the diagnosis, right? So
correct.
Am I correct in my assumption that if I enter the cardiac diagnosis, that those are the patients that I'm going to need to enter the meds to correspond with that? But that if I don't enter cardiac diagnosis, that I don't have to do it? Or is that not a correct assumption?
No, that's correct. If the diagnosis is not in the chart, then we wouldn't need the information. However, just be aware that if we start to see a huge decline in people adding dementia, any CAD diagnoses, that'll also be a trigger because we have to submit every patient that we bill for to MIPS. So if they look at, I don't know, I'm just going to use California, Dr. Torgerson. If they look at your state, and typically we do thousands of visits and we only submit data on, a couple hundred people, they're going to wonder what's going on, and they could audit us, and that they could ask potentially for documents from the facility.
Okay. So avoiding the diagnosis is not necessarily the answer either.
It is not. It is not.
Okay. All right.
That, unfortunately, I wish there was a better way. But yeah,
okay.
Not putting it in is not going to help us either.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
You're
so,
welcome.
Melissa, I have a question.
Yes.
I thought the CAD meds were just anticoagulants, ARBs, and ACE inhibitors. We don't need beta blockers, or do we need to say anything that it smells of a heart and looks like a heart that's a heart?
I think that's actually provider preference. I have providers that stick to the ACEs, ARBs, anticoagulants, antiplatelets. And then I have providers that if they see any cardiac meds, whether it's a beta blocker, you know, or a calcium channel blocker, they add those too, just so, you know, we have an updated med list.
Okay.
So this is Dr. Patel again. Do you have to put the doses of all the medication, or can you just put on comment sections that patient is on metoprolol, aspirin, Plavix, and all other stuff, or something like that? Or
well, or where just, we sh- oh, go yeah. ahead, Dr. Patel. I'm sorry.
Go, I mean, it's so. Can you, or you have to put like, you have to add medicines each, like with the dose, and how many times it takes, and all other stuff, or.
Oh, no, no. So what you would just do is in the medication history section under the history tab, when you select medication, you don't have to enter how many times a day. You can just put ASA 81 milligrams.
Okay.
You could put, you know, amlodipine, whatever you want to put. You could put just the milligrams they're on. You don't have to put it if it's twice a day.
Okay. Okay. So we can just even put on a comment section, you know, like, you know, on the top, we can say patient is on amlodipine, patient on what do you call, metoprolol, aspirin, Plavix. I mean, you can put all the stuff right there.
Yeah. If you put it in the comments section, it won't get pulled to our report. We have to, we look at the data points in the actual medication section under the medication tab. So if you enter them there, they will show up, and then you won't get a list from us when you've already completed these tasks. And if you need help with that, just reach out to anyone on the clinical team, and we're more than happy to team viewer with you and go over that again.
No. Okay. All right. No problem. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, this is Dr. Patel again. Do you need to, like, if they are not on these medications and they have a CAD diagnosis, do you have to, on the comment section, say patient is not on statin or no aspirin, no something like that? Or
yes. So what that's what we are encouraging everyone to do is put in the top section, just, you know, medication 2025 medications reviewed. You can even just put no CAD meds.
Okay.
And that way you don't have to type everything out. We know that you've reviewed that chart. It's not applicable at this point, and you won't get that person, you know, they won't be continuously added to your list.
Yeah, because so many are there, you know, there are some patients, they have diagnosis of, you know, MI or CAD and all, but they are not on any medications. You know, they are not on aspirin, they are not on metoprolol, they are not on Plavix or statin or something like that. So, that's why I'm wondering if I have to put on the top, like, no statin, no something, or just send you the medications and that's it, probably.
Yes, and if they're not on anything, you can even check. There's a button at the top of that medication where you add your medications, and it says no meds. So you can even select that button and then just put a comment, you know, no meds for 2025, however you want to state it.
I thought statins weren't being...
They're not. We're not currently doing statins. You're correct, Dr. Cardian. But some people are still adding them, and that's fine.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Milt, did you have anything else to add?
Yeah. The MIPS sizes have a little more... so everyone, I hope, understands what MIPS is all about. That's the government's approach to determine whether quality care is being provided to patients in our type of setting. And basically what happens when the results are reviewed, there's a tabulation of all the criteria that are submitted, and it's a point system. If you score above a certain point system, a certain point level, ultimately in the following year, you are awarded an increase to your payments. If, on the other hand, you fall below that, you could be penalized. And the swing is by 10% either way. So that's pretty significant. Now, we have been neutral almost every year. One year we got a 5%, and we changed the provider fee schedule. This goes back a number of years and increased it by 5%. We have not been able to do that since. I don't want to have to go the other way where we have to decrease it because we get a decrease, because this is how this works. If we can get an increase, whatever that increase is gets passed on to the provider fee schedule. So it's an opportunity to, in a sense, give everyone a raise, which, you know, from a financial standpoint, I'd love to be able to do. So it really behooves us to, you know, pay attention to this. It's not just a cumbersome additional, you know, piece of work that you are required. It has implications financially on the whole company. And, you know, so one provider, if they're seeing enough patients, can mess it up for everyone. So no one should think that my contributions, this won't make a bit of difference. It does. There are points for every single one of you on every one of the patients that you submit on. So that's important. And it really, really makes a difference. So, you know, think about that as well. It'll show that we're providing the quality care that we are confident we are providing, but if there's no acknowledgement of it in the MIPS reporting, the assumption is you did it, you know, which is unfortunate, but that's the case. That's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Mel. Any questions? All right. A few quick things on my end to go over. Just a reminder regarding biologics and documentation, because this has kind of come up in recent circumstances. You know, we've talked about the minimum size of a wound that can have a graft applied as being 1 square centimeter. That also does mean if your wound is healing and it does reach that 1 centimeter or smaller size, you do have to stop grafting those wounds. So once you've reached that point, you know, you'll have to transition the dressing to something else because those wounds will no longer qualify for grafting. The other thing to remind everybody is that, you know, with the use of grafts, again, this is not an end-all be-all treatment for every wound. There will be some wounds where, for whatever reasons, they don't respond. And so if you're not seeing any improvement or any change after several applications, you should stop using that. And, you know, we will be monitoring, you know, those situations. And if, you know, if the grafts are, or if the wounds are not changing in size, then we will, you know, at some point stop those orders as well. But keep in mind, if you're not seeing improvement after 2-3 applications, this may be a treatment that's not going to work for your patient. Any questions about those? All right, then. Well, last thing to go over and review is the article. I had some requests to kind of go over some nutritional aspects of wound healing. I thought this was a pretty good article, although it did mention that some of this was related to, you know, preoperative fine-tuning of patients before. I thought a lot of the information certainly can be transferable and appropriate for or applicable to our patient population. So I hope everybody got a chance to review the article. I did also include one of the scoring systems that the article suggested. By no means is it a perfect scoring tool. I certainly find faults with it on some level, but there is no perfect scoring tool out there. So, you know, some of it has to involve your own clinical judgment. I did put together a number of questions pertaining to the article. I think in the interest of time, if we can have some volunteers to kind of go over each question and a brief answer, I would appreciate that. I could certainly call people as well, but I would rather have volunteers. So anybody would like to start us off here in the discussion?
Is this an article you mailed out or emailed out?
Yes, it was attached to the invite for the meeting.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm assuming you didn't see the attachment, so I will skip you tonight. All right. I really hate to call on people. Any volunteers?
Question one.
I didn't read the article either, but I didn't know. I didn't see that attachment. But I don't mind being called on. I can always guess.
Well, I don't. I unfortunately did not put it in a multiple choice format, so I don't know. I don't know how well guessing will work. All right. Did anybody read the article?
No, not yet.
I'm looking at like my invite from Melissa. I don't see. Oh, never mind. I see it. Never mind. My bad.
I did not see it either.
Yeah, but okay.
Can we do it next time?
I just seen this morning that we had the meeting tonight. So I mean, I know I clicked on it, but then I forgot it. So I'm not much help either. Sorry.
All right. Well, I tell you what, then I don't see any value in me just kind of summarizing the article. So yes,
this is unique. I'm very happy to answer your questions.
Oh, there's always one. There's always one in medical school.
Very much. Done. I'm sure we can get it done in 10 minutes.
Well, I appreciate that. I want this to be a valuable experience for everybody. So why don't we give everybody an opportunity to review the article and perhaps we'll have a more lively discussion next time then.
That's for sure. Yeah. If people read it, it's much better.
what I'll do is, so there's no confusion, because I can see how you miss it with it being attached to the invite, I'll send out a separate email to the providers with just the articles and questions attached. So, and then it'll be at, you know, in the forefront.
Yeah, that would help, Melissa, because
that's no problem. Yeah. I'm certainly happy to do that.
Okay.
All right, then. Well, I guess that covers all of the topics for tonight. Does anybody have any lasting questions? All right, then. Well, I appreciate everybody for joining us this evening. Please do take a look at the article and have a great evening. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.